You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
This kind of slipped through the cracks yesterday. Did you see the Astros have hired a new director of player development?
Yes, she is a female, I believe, right?
Yes, yeah. She is. I don't know what she identifies as.
Of course, yes.
Her name is Sarah Goodrum. I don't want to assume that she identifies as a woman. Her name is Sarah, though.
Right.
And she's gone by she, but I don't want to assume it. But the Astros have signed her away from the Milwaukee Brewers to make her director of player development. Now, if you boo the Astros, if you're an opposing team, do you hate women?
I think the answer is yes. Therefore,
yep.
You must now root for the Astros.
You have to.
Them's the rules, baby.
We're the good guys now.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, how many? Oh, do you have a female in charge of your player development? No, we do. Why are you a caveman? Why are you so archaic? All right. We are a progressive organization here. All right. We don't have a general manager like the Miami Marlins do. And Kim, her name is NG. How do you pronounce it?
Ng.
Ng.
So you're saying you're an out.
Well, but new is spelled differently. Yeah. You know, so I'm not sure. Is it Ng? Is that her name?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I also don't know. Let's call her Kim N.
Ng.
Ng.
N.
Ng.
I don't know. There are a few women now in the game. Actually, the Orioles also have a director of baseball operations, a female, Eve Rosenbaum. Does that mean we're going to suck like the Orioles now?
I hope not. I sure hope not.
The Marlins have a general manager.
We got some moves left to make.
The Orioles have a director. They suck. But the Giants promoted Alyssa Knocken to their full-time staff. She became the first woman to coach on the field during a major league game, and they were really good.
They were good.
They choked in the postseason. Maybe it's because of her.
Weren't as good as the Astros, in my opinion, of course.
So this is awesome. Congratulations to the Astros and our progressive team. Now we're the good guys. So if you boo us, you suck.
So
you hate women.
Astros progressive hire. The Rockets are also pretty progressive. I don't know if they get enough credit for that, but they have a black head coach. They have Rafael Stone is also African American black. I think partially half. They have
well then he's half white. Then.
Well, they have Gretchen Scher, who's heading their operations, who is a female, and then their general counsel Clay Allen is openly gay, and so
got it all. We hit it all.
Nailed them all.
We're diverse.
There you go, right?
Way to go, Tillman.
So now the Astros are, you know, putting Taubman behind them and moving forward. So hopefully that's good.
Yeah, that's Taubman. John Heyman said this. This remains a mystery. No one has responded why Verlander deal wasn't made official. Mm-hmm. MLB trade rumors points out Verlander isn't listed on the Astros roster on MLB.com. The great pitcher remains a free agent. Nothing can be finalized now until the lockout ends. That is interesting that wasn't. Now, they agreed to the deal, and I think he's going to be here. But why is that? I don't know why they didn't do that. Was there some kind of – is there something to do with – there's no reason that the cap right now that you have to worry about the luxury tax or and they're not I don't know that they're close to it. I think that the Verlander is counting in and they're still under it. I mean, they're losing Greinke money. They lost the $8 million of Verlander money. They're losing $12 million of Carlos money. I don't get it why the Verlander deal hasn't been completed.
I don't know either. I would imagine there's some logistical reason to it. I saw somewhere, and I don't have the actual quote, so I can't provide that quote, but I saw somewhere that I think Ben Verlander, his brother, obviously, who was the one that initially broke the news.
He better.
Right.
If Ben would have got beat on that story.
I think he indicated somewhere, somehow, that it was just a formality of some type. I just can't imagine they would announce all that and then... You know, it falls through. I'm scrolling here trying to find it.
No, please don't say that.
Yeah, but I just can't imagine that would be the case. I feel like Jimmy Click, you know, there's some cap magic or logistics or something there. That would
here. You call him Jimmy too? We're boys. I call him Jimmy too.
Here you go. Yeah,
oh. Everybody calls him James.
We're not boys, but you know, good old Jimmy.
I call him Jim Harden.
I did call James Harden Jim Harden. Although I didn't do it in a disrespectful manner. I just thought it was a cool nickname, Jimmy Harden. But this is from Twitter user Michael Schwab.
Oh, Michael Schwab's a good source.
Yes, he says this is yesterday. He tweets the Justin Verlander signing won't happen until after the lockout. Per his brother, the contract was agreed upon, but it is not official yet.
No, I don't know, but they had plenty of time to get it done before, you know, the lockout. Now, nothing can get done because it's obvious. I mean, that was obviously it's not going to get done because you can't sign any players right now. But it's interesting that it didn't happen before because it was a week before or more that they announced that they had come to terms.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
What do you make
maybe
of
maybe Verlander was out of time? Maybe he was out of country or whatever.
Maybe he was just enjoying his time with his beautiful wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, couldn't get to it.
Now. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he just continued his boycott of the building because he certainly didn't show up there. KJ says this, not even being funny, but the SWAC does neutral site championship games in Alabama, and they don't even fill up stadiums in the regular season. So the AAC could do the same if they wanted to. They absolutely could do that. But they'll make more money with a home game for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
There'll be way more tickets sold. And both teams don't have to travel. One team does, but the other one doesn't. So that saves money as well. Yeah, it would certainly be more fair. And it'd be, you know, obviously for the team. Now, Cincinnati saying, well, we deserve it. We've been up there at the top of the rankings. We're ranked higher. We're undefeated. So, you know what? We deserve this game. So shut up, everybody, and stop moaning like little Bias. Just come up here and win if you think you can.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the decision's always going to lead back to the paper trail, right, to the money. So they're going to do what makes the most financial sense. So, you know, they're not going to fill up a neutral stadium. I think they have a much better shot of making a couple more bucks if it's played in Cincinnati, and it is being played in Cincinnati. So
yeah, Gary says they didn't have room for Verlander on the 40-man.
No, they
you got to make room on a 40 man at some point. So what's the difference?
No, Andre Scrub. They I think they did something with Andre Scrub.
I hope they did nothing with Andre Scrub. I hope Andre Scrub is.
I think
never...
he's now on a minor league deal. He cleared waivers, and I believe he's now just a minor leaguer.
Yeah, so he cleared. So
yeah, he's
off
no
the
longer
40.
He's
off the 40.
Yeah, so
yeah, that's not.
Climbing Towels Hill tweeted, "It sucks to see Andre Scrub get removed from the 40 man roster." So he was hopefully, Scrub can find a rhythm at full strength next season in AAA. So, it was pretty sure it was Scrub. That, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm okay
it's
with
a
that.
Shame.
I'm okay with that.
Climbing Tails Hill. I don't know about a shame that it's. You know, Andre Scrub had plenty of opportunities to be much better than Andre Scrub has been. He lived up to his name.
Unfortunately, two B's. Andre Scrub was a surprise in the COVID season. And then he was just like the quintessential example of one of those guys that the next season, meaning this most recent season, for whatever reason, you know, maybe it was fans, maybe I don't know what it was, more games, just didn't really materialize. Kind of like Enoli Paredes, right? Enoli Paredes was huge in the COVID season, had some huge outs and innings, and then
couldn't find a play.
Yeah, couldn't find, you know, anything.
No, and I like Scrub because he looked like us.
Yeah,
as opposed to he was big dude now, but. He's big all the way around.
He looks like Andre the Giant.
He does look like Andre the Giant. So. Andre the Scrub looked like Andre the Giant. Yeah. No question. No question. But yeah, he was kind of fat like us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I liked about him.
Shout out to the good brother Brian LaLima said Andre Scrub has a wagon. And he does have a wagon.
Yeah. He's got Mr. Smokey Pants, we like to call him. We've got the boy. Are they here? Are the guys here? Yesterday we had to bump the Culture Map guys to not talk to Chris Moneymaker. We bumped them because we didn't talk to. I don't know. It just didn't work out. Chris Moneymaker thought he was supposed to call in at 9:30. He was supposed to call in at 9:15. So we were supposed to have him on yesterday. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. A buddy of mine who's a poker player. Hey, nice interview with Chris Moneymaker. That was great. Chris Moneymaker screwed it up, okay? He was supposed to call in at 9:15 and he didn't. But the boys will be here. We'll see what's going on this weekend. A lot of great stuff going on this weekend right here in the city of Houston. So the Culture Boys will answer that. Stevie D and Eric going to come your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I want to talk about the fight again. All right? Look, it is going to be awesome. If you're looking for a great fight, Sunday night, 7 o'clock, Gervonta Tank Davis, 25-0 with 24 knockouts, five-time three-division world champion. Gervonta Tank Davis is a beast, and he is going to be fighting. He is going to be fighting Isaac Pitbull Cruz, 22-1, 15 knockouts. And he's known for his aggressive come-forward style of fighting, and he's from Mexico City. Andale, pues. He's 23 years old. This is going to be a big fight. It's the headline, but there's all kinds of great fights on this card, and you can all get it at pay-per-view. The unbeaten five-time world champion boxing hottest attraction, Gervonta Tank Davis, going to defend his lightweight championship against hard-hitting Isaac Pitbull Cruz in a can't-miss pay-per-view event. Davis, a generational talent who's only getting better, squares off against the hard-hitting and hard-nosed Cruz. Two high-octane fighters, one explosive showdown, Sunday, December 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, live on pay-per-view.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5.
Hey, time to talk about hoops. Talk about a goal. Talk about the best goal in the history of the goals. It's the Hoop Sporting Goal and Equipment. It just doesn't get any better. If you're looking for a great way for the kids to actually have some fun in the driveway or in the backyard, wherever you got that concrete, wherever you got that set up, and listen, you can pour it, and Hoops will help you. They're going to do everything they possibly can to make it the best goal you can possibly get with the installation that's second to none. They will stencil the driveway or whatever with the free throw line, and they'll put your kid's name on the stanchion. It's unrustable. It's a tempered glass backboard. It's an unbreakable rim. It's just great. It's got curb appeal as well. So your wife will love it too. But the kids will love it because you can raise and lower the goal so that they can actually make baskets, Dad. They don't want a 10-foot goal that they can't even throw the basketball in. So what they want is the best goal, period, exclamation point. Y'all want it. It's ProDunkHoops.com. Tell Keith Tate that you heard it right here. ProDunkHoops.com.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stevie D and Eric Sandler joining us once again here on the show to talk about what's going on in the world of Houston. What's up, guys?
Good to see you, man. Good to see you. Nice, rocking the U of H. Love that.
Yes,
love that.
Of course I am. It's the biggest game that we've seen here.
I know. You got two proud Cougs here, so
that's awesome.
No, technically I'm a Gator. UH downtown.
Well,
just let me have this. Just let me live.
UH downtown. Do they actually have teams?
No.
Well, then, what? They're not Gators. Then
they're Cougs.
They're Cougs.
No teams, but they do have a mascot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what do you need a mascot for if you don't have a team?
I didn't invent the mascot. I just got
my just telling you.
Got my Bachelor of Science.
Is it an angry gator, a happy gator?
It's like a smiling gator, but I thought that would let me buy alligator cowboy boots as a graduation present.
Not oh.
That. What's the gator's name?
That's a good question.
Florida Man. Yes, his name is Florida
Very
Man.
Clever. All right. You want to talk about restaurant? We're here to talk about nominally what's going on
what
at Culture Map this week.
A good restaurant that I should try soon?
John, I got one for you.
What?
It is called Trattoria Sofia. It is a new Italian restaurant in the Heights from Ben Berg. He owns B&B Butchers, the Annie Cafe, Turner's. So this is a beautiful new space on 11th Street. It is just, it's very lush. It's very intimate. It's dark, very like date night friendly.
Nice.
Handmade pastas.
I love that.
Yeah. Really cool.
Go-to dish.
Oh, so I'm going to say the bucatini with Sicilian pesto.
Okay.
Was probably my single favorite dish of the night. The roasted octopus was really great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does the roasted octopus come with some type of sauce, pesto, something on the...
It's got this like... There was beets with labneh. There was like a... It wasn't like a hummus, but it was like kind of like that tahini, kind of a little bit of a Middle Eastern tip. Super talented chef. Again, like... This is the new hotspot, right? Like all the pretty people have been going to Gratify all year.
Right. Gratify Neighborhood Bistro. I've heard of this.
Gratify Neighborhood Bistro is a seafood restaurant in Rice Village. Very posh, very decadent, very delicious. But I think, this is my culinary hot take of the week, I think all the pretty people are going to be checking out Ben Berg's new spot.
100%.
Okay.
Okay.
Trattoria
and what's it called again? Trattoria what?
Trattoria Sofia. S-O-F-I-A.
Sofia. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, and just off the beaten path.
Sure.
Eater Houston put out the best steakhouses. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Do you agree with this? Tris is the best steakhouse.
Well, okay. So let me just explain, because those lists are not ranked. They are organized geographically. So every time I see someone be like, "Oh, we're number one on Eater," it's like they're not ranked.
Okay.
First of all.
So because they have Taste of Texas second.
Yeah, which wouldn't even be in my top 10, bro.
Right. 3 B&B. That would be in your top 10, right?
Yeah. I mean, Doris Metropolitan is my personal favorite. I know that's
it's not
on
even
that.
On here.
Is it not? No. It should be. If it's not, it should be, because that Chris Shepherd's place, Georgia James,
Georgia
is another
James
one.
Is on here. Georgia Chillins is on here. Oh, Doris is 11th. They got him out.
Well, yeah. And the woman who writes that list does Ronnie Killens' social media, so it's a little bit weird that,
okay.
that both – not that Killens is – not that Killens isn't great. And honestly, I had a fantastic dinner at Killens' STQ last week.
Yeah.
And I had been to Vic and Anthony's a couple weeks before. And give me STQ over V&A just based on my most recent experience.
Oh, really?
Why?
Because the steak was cooked better.
Okay.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty simple.
Well, they got Mastro's in here. They got...
Mastro's whatever. Steak 48 whatever. I mean, those really big, really loud, like really Vegas-y steakhouses are not really my scene personally, but I understand what people like about them and why they're so...
You know, this might be random, but I don't know if you guys are tapped into the Instagram grilling community. Have you seen this?
Eric absolutely is.
I mean, maybe I am too.
He just said Eric absolutely is. You said
well,
that.
I'm very restaurant focused. I haven't seen this much home cooking, but give me it anyway.
Influencer style, right? You know, dudes just cooking, grilling it up, whatever, however they do it. Big green egg, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, Komodo, yeah.
Ever since I've seen and kind of, because I have a friend that has an account that he's got, you know, 40-something thousand followers, and he does this, and he makes a damn good steak. Ever since I've seen that, it has pulled me away from going to a steakhouse, and it's made me more so focused on wanting to do it on my own. Because it looks like they kick some ass. I got a buddy, Cooking with Swiss, follow him. This man makes a hell of a steak.
Trying to put you out of business, Eric.
Well, I think...
If everybody cooks at home, then what do we need, Eric?
Only steak.
Right. Stay home and eat skinless chicken breast and extra spinach. It's not what people want to read about. So that's why we don't do that.
Right.
I will say, the best thing about a restaurant, typically, like, the meat is the meat, right? And they all kind of cook the meat the same way. You're really going for, like, sides, desserts, the experience, the wine list.
Right.
That stuff is harder to do at home.
Yes.
But, yeah, if you get a really hot cast iron skillet and you sear the ever-living, you know, really high heat and get that great crust, it's going to be a very delicious steak.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do we got? What do you got going on?
Guys, for Friday, I feel like I need to do my own sports announcer voice. At 7'1", 360 pounds from Louisiana State University, Shaquille O'Neal in town tonight. John, why is he in town?
Shaquille O'Neal is in town because Orlando is playing here.
No, he's in town because the world's largest DJ, see what they did there, is playing Sakai Nightclub. He does a set. So he's going to be at Sakai Nightclub. Eric Sandler can tell you all about that club. And he's playing. So people are going to be packing this place to see Big Aristotle.
Sakai Nightclub. Where's this?
Brand new Edo. Very glitzy. Very high-tech. Light sound. Vegas style. This is the new... Houston's hottest nightclub.
Stefan.
Shaq on the wheels of steel.
DJ Diesel is how he goes.
DJ Diesel. DJ that's Diesel. Good.
Yeah,
that's
I would thought he'd go Big Aristotle, but he goes DJ Diesel.
Dress code?
Always.
Dress to impress.
Dress to impress. You've got that.
Of course. So, you know, I mean, I'm just an average Joe, but I can dress it up a little bit.
You've got that guy from Star Wars. What does he look the actor?
Bobo.
I have been told, not Star Wars, but I am often told that I look like Raffy from The League, at least when my hair was longer.
I've been told I look like an asthmatic gastroenterologist, you know, that, or someone's, you know, yeah, that's what I tell. So, okay, also, speaking of concert, so music, we've got Shaq doing the DJ thing, DJ Diesel, and then if you're a fan of local music, you guys know The Suffers?
Cam Franklin's a good friend. They're incredible.
Okay, so they're doing a battle of the bands, very sportsy.
Last night.
Oh.
No, last night, it was all over my Instagram.
Yeah. So we got Saturday, we've got Rooftop Cinema Uptown.
So that's going to be called Up on the Rooftop. If you like the holiday classic called Elf,
yeah,
go there, dress up like an elf. Then they're going to have a whole list of holiday stuff there. And then speaking of holiday, if you like lights, culturemap.com, our light story for holiday lights blew up. Everybody wants to go see holiday lights. So Mayor Turner and Reliant are hosting a free family event this Saturday called Reliant Lights Mayor's Holiday Spectacular. It's basically lights downtown, you know, wassail, all the good stuff,
is
fireworks.
It a drive or attend?
No, you're going to walk. Okay. You're going to put on your winter clothes, meaning shorts in Houston.
Yep, right.
And
beautiful out.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful out. And then if you want some more lights, Sunday, Memorial Park. Have you guys seen the new Memorial Park, the new and improved Memorial Park?
No.
It's bonkers. Eastern Glades looks, I mean, they've got boardwalks, they've got walkways, they've got ponds. And so you can go take a date, take your lady, and then go see the lights, and then go, you know.
Do whatever.
You could do what.
And then
what,
do stuff.
Have a Coors Light.
Yeah. No. Or more. Whatever. So we got all of that going on. Shaq is here.
Yeah.
At Sickly, what's it called?
Sakai Night.
Sakai Day and Night.
Sakai Day and Night. Where is it?
It's on Edo. It's in Edo. I want to say it's on St. Emmanuel Street, but it's not hard to find. Like, look for all the flashing lights and the Bentleys and the pretty people.
Go to Cobos Q first. Right there.
If you want.
Yeah. Look at him. Yeah. Cobos Q. All right. Have some Coors Lights and then go over to Sakai.
There you go. That's the trifecta. Nailed them all.
John needs to call him.
That's it. Is there any other restaurant thing news that we have to have before we go?
Well, there are these holiday pop-up bars. So if you're getting in the Christmas spirit, Johnny's Gold Brick.
What does that mean, a pop-up bar? It's there for a day or
no,
what?
No, so they redecorate for the season. So for this month, they have extra Christmas decorations, like really over the top, like very Instagrammable. Johnny's Gold Brick, Night Shift in Edo, and Winnie's in Midtown.
I like Johnny's Gold Brick. What's going on there?
So they do the Miracle Pop-Up, which is this national thing with a special cocktail menu, holiday mugs, like special glassware, and then they just go like, you know, super over the top Christmas.
What days?
Every day through New Year's Eve, I think.
Oh, so it's like a month. It's a month, seasonal kind of thing.
And reservations book a fast. So look online, resi.com. You can reserve a time.
Okay.
And you will want to.
Is that resi with an IE or a
no,
Y?
Y.
R-E-S-Y.com.
Resi.com. Gotcha. Resi. All right, guys. We appreciate it. As always, that's the Culture Map guys right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good stuff. Good stuff. Time to talk right now about HR and payroll. HR and P. Those are our guys. Those are the guys that we love. We used to have another payroll company here when we first started up back in 2007, and it just didn't work out. They wouldn't grow with us. We grew as a business, and they didn't grow with us. And that's a problem. That's a real problem for a growing business. And you want to grow your business, and HR and P will help you grow your business. And secondly, when you do grow, they will grow with you. All right, because it's not cookie cutter. Not everybody gets the same price, and this is what we charge, and that is all there is to it. No, HR and P will come to your business, and actually, they're going to break it down. They're going to get as much information about your business as possible, and then they put together a plan for your payroll and for your HR. And yours is different than ours. Yours is, I mean, depending on how many employees you got and what everything, they don't worry. They handle all of that. And they do it great. And look, if you're looking for a great company that is going to take care of you through tax time, they're going to take care of you through the pandemic and get you right, it's HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
To call into the HRP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Time for me to talk about Damaris Barbecue and the catering company. Listen, you got holiday season coming up here. They did a record number of turkeys this year. And if you are somebody that wants to, and listen, Christmas party's back, Damaris Catering is awesome. It's not just barbecue. Sure, you can get barbecue for your Christmas party, but you can get fillets. You can get a wonderful tenderloins, whatever it is that you're looking for. I mean, they do carving stations. It's unbelievable. We go to, we, one of the owners of the station here always had a Christmas party, and Damaris always did it, and it was spectacular with the big white hats. And you're looking for the best in catering. Damaris does it. So if you're looking for a great caterer right now for your party, DEMERIS.com, Damaris.com. You're looking for a place to go and get your drink on and have some fun and watch some football. They've got all the football games. It's right there at 18th Street and 610. Just awesome. You're looking for a place at Shepherd. They had been there forever to get your barbecue on. You got that as well. Damaris. You're looking for a great place to get your food on. It's Damaris.com or Damaris Barbecue.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
What is this? Lazy. Talk about lazy. He's on the phone? Wait a minute. Get your ass in studio, okay? I know we're not three Freds over here. But this is the most important thing you do all week. So you better get your ass in here, Dell.
I don't know who you're talking to like that, but you better check your tone.
So, what is this on the phone garbage? Okay,
I'm not driving in when the show starts at noon.
What time does your FM show start over there?
It's not an FM show. You're on an FM station.
Oh, that's right.
We're on the internet and in some stations across the country.
What time does that start?
It starts at the time you tune off from Charlie and then you listen to us.
Your head's up against Joel. That's right. Right? 12 to 3?
Yeah, Joel gave me the finger yesterday.
He did? Heads up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the competition. Joel don't want that. He don't want no. You know what? He's going to do everything to destroy you. So, all right? That's how Joel rolls. So, how's your Respect My Decision podcast going?
Well, I got uploaded this morning. It was good. Talked a lot about the conference championship games. You can find that, as you mentioned, the title Respect My Decision. You can find it on Apple and Spotify, and it's on my. If you follow me on Twitter, it's there too at Delvey2. But you know, coaching carousel stuff, Brian Kelly's accent. John, if chalk holds this weekend, where Georgia wins, and you've got Oklahoma State winning, and you've got Michigan winning, and you got Cincinnati winning, would it be the worst combination of quarterbacks to ever play the playoff?
Wow. You got Ritter, Stetson Bennett. You got McCarthy. Well, no, you got McNamara. And, what's the matter with Spencer? He's playing
he's
pretty
kind of
football.
Erratic.
He kind of erratic, but you know, it would absolutely probably be yeah, it probably would be the worst collection. Although, you know, Ritter is one, what is he, third most wins in college football history?
He's definitely a winner, but when we've gone from Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, and Mac Jones last year, I mean, Tua's been in there. You've had even Deshaun has been in there multiple times. You just think about all the quarterbacks who played in the playoff, and then you get to this year, and you got Stetson Bennett, who people thought would get benched at some point. Spencer Sanders, who's had an off-and-on career as far as his performances. Cade McNamara, people thought J.J. McCarthy would take his job at some point coming off of last year. It's just the least star-studded quarterback group that I can think of.
Do you cringe every time? I do, when Harbaugh switches out and puts McCarthy in there, because McCarthy against Michigan State was just an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, but they've done it all year, so I don't think you change it now. I mean, I grew up watching Spurrier flip out quarterbacks by play sometimes. Noah Brindyce and Doug Johnson and Jesse Palmer felt like all three played the game in one. So it doesn't bother me so much. And Cade McNamara's not such a talent that taking him out for a player to meet is going to really kill you. But it is a little weird because you don't see it in college football, but he doesn't have an elite quarterback. And Cade McNamara provides something that J.J. McCarthy provides something that Cade McNamara doesn't. We kind of all know what it'll be. It's pretty much the wing tee when J.J. McCarthy's in the game, and then if they surprise you with a pass, they may get a big play out of it. It's just their version of the Wildcat, honestly, just with a guy with an arm.
Most likely to upset their opponent this weekend.
If I knew that Jerry Bohan was healthy, I would take Baylor to beat Okie State. Just because you get over that hump of beating Oklahoma. They played a tight, low-scoring ball game the first time. Oklahoma State did win by two scores, but it wasn't a game where you thought, oh, that's a dominant performance. Their defense just played really, really well, which they've done pretty much all year. I just don't know if Gary Bohannon's healthy. So if I remove him from the equation in that game, because I don't know if healthy, I would probably take the Cougs over Cincinnati. I was watching some Cincinnati stuff yesterday, particularly what they did against Notre Dame, because I think that's the most talented team they've played outside of Houston. And Desmond Ridder is not a guy who you should fear. I mean, they'll hit the big play with their inside receivers. They like the Beliefs against Notre Dame. They tested Notre Dame slot defenders and made some big plays that way. They're not a pure drop-back offense, passing offense. And I am interested to see if they try to run the ball early, because they did not do that against Notre Dame. They ran it inside their own 20 and Notre Dame's 20, but outside that, they tried to throw the football to move it. And with Houston's kind of smaller defensive front, I do wonder if that changes. But I like, as far as the upsets are concerned, Houston over Cincinnati, despite Cincinnati being at home, if I was going to pick one.
Dell, Roosh, oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Roosh.
Yeah, Roosh here. Nice to talk to you again, brother. Let me ask you this. Utah and Oregon is kind of interesting to me, because obviously Utah whooped the crap out of Oregon a couple weeks ago. But like I said earlier on this show today, I just think it's hard to beat the same team twice. So what are you looking for in Utah, Oregon? Do you think Utah runs away with it? Do you think Oregon comes back more competitive? What's your outlook there?
Yeah, I was looking at some of the numbers from Anthony Brown, who's the Oregon quarterback. He's a really good player at home, and he's pretty much a detriment to that team on the road. Now, it's a neutral site, so I guess we'll split the difference. I think he didn't throw an interception at home. I think it was 11 TDs, no interception. He was 4-4 on the road. So I'm interested to see how he plays away from home in really the biggest game of his career. We saw in the previous biggest game of his career, he was a non-factor. But to your point about beating a team twice, if the physicality remains the same, then I don't think it'll be much of an issue. Oregon, who was supposed to be the big bully, got bullied all over that field. Now, the end of that second quarter made that score lopsided. It was 14-0 at the time until Utah scored late, and then they got a punt return for a touchdown to put the game away. You just have to look at Oregon's physicality. They didn't stand up to Utah, and that's part of the brand of Mario Cristobal. We're physical. We're going to run the ball. We're going to be good on both fronts. If that changes, then I think certainly Oregon is a more talented team. They got to find a way to fix what happened last time. They can't get bullied.
Which camp are you in? Georgia is just way too much offensively. Their fronts offensively and defensively, way too much for Alabama. Or you got to be an idiot to bet against Alabama and getting 7 points.
Well, the 7 is, and the spread is more your thing. But as far as my take on that game, Alabama's shown us what they are. They're a team that can't beat people up front. Auburn didn't have any problem handling them. LSU didn't. Arkansas stayed in that game. And Georgia's probably the most physical football team on defense we've seen in the last couple of years. Can Alabama change things that they haven't been able to change all year? Other than that logo and the numbers on the side of the helmet that are familiar to us, this isn't like all the vintage Alabama teams. So I'm going to stick with Alabama's shown us who they are. Georgia's shown us who they are. And other than the mystique of never getting past Bama, I don't see Georgia losing this game. I think I even said on my podcast, I think it's a score or two plus. I don't think it'll be something where it's like 21 points of a difference, but I think maybe Georgia puts them away with the late score and gets it above that number. I just don't think Alabama's physical enough. You saw Nick Saban after the game against Auburn. He was thrilled to win that game, despite how the game went. I think he knows what his team is. I think he knows they're not truly an Alabama team, and he's just happy for the ride. I like Georgia and the points.
I completely agree with you. They've escaped twice, or they've had two close games back-to-back weeks, I feel like we don't really see that often with Alabama, so I don't think they're going to run away with a game against Georgia. So to think that they're going to get 3 in a row to squeeze out is tough for me to see. Also, Bill O'Brien is calling the plays on that sideline, and I never have a good feeling about that. And then lastly, to kind of speak to the mystique that you mentioned, you know, up until this season, none of Nick Saban's assistants, coordinators, whatever, had beaten him until Jimbo Fisher was able to do it. So I think some of that mystique has kind of worn away, and given that Kirby Smart has been so close so many times and seems to have the better team this season, I think this is the season where he finally does it and gets over the hump.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think now's the time. Georgia's been waiting for a championship for like 40 years now. He's not going to get it now. I don't know when you're going to get it. There aren't any of these giant mega teams in the country except for Georgia. Georgia kind of has a pretty clear path if they take care of business. This is the last. It's more of a mental thing for me with Georgia against Alabama. They see that uniform. They've seen what Alabama's taken away from them the last couple times they played in big situations. And maybe it's just a year for that. Mike Gundy finally beat Oklahoma. We'll see if he can continue that against Baylor and get to the playoff. Jim Harbaugh finally beat Ohio State, and now they're in a position to make the playoff. Georgia doesn't have to worry about losing this game and not making the playoff. But if you lose this game to Bama, what does that do to your psyche? Not only did you lose to Bama, you've given them a playoff spot as well. But I do think this is the year for teams to get over the hump. I think Georgia's just next in line.
Any reason to watch Michigan-Iowa?
Yeah, you're looking for – well, I mean, Michigan is the – I mean, Iowa's like the Walmart brand version of Michigan. They're going to run the ball. They want to be tough. But Michigan's just more talented. They're more gifted. And the stat is this. In Iowa's 10 wins, they've created 27 turnovers. In their two losses, one. Hold on to the ball, Michigan. I said this, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago, whenever they played Penn State. The difference between Iowa being a 10-2 Big Ten West champ and being like 8-4 and being an also-ran and waiting for, I don't know, whatever the Citrus Bowl is called, is their ability to force teams that are more talented than them to turn the ball over. I think you only watch because of the stakes, but if Michigan's holding on to the football, they'll grind Iowa to dust and win that game. Maybe it's a ugly 21-10, 28-10 win, but I think all you have to look at, and it's very simple, keep the ball out of Iowa's hands. Stop turning the ball over, and I think they win going away.
Okay, last one. Tuesday, when all the dust settles, who are the four teams going to be in what order?
Well, we'll find out Sunday. They switch it to Sunday.
Oh, it's Sunday. Okay.
Yeah, don't make us wait too long. I think, like I said, I think chalk holds as far as who's favored and who has their chance. I don't see chaos. I think we're going to have Oklahoma State at 4. I think we'll have Cincinnati at 3, Michigan at 2, and Georgia at 1. I think those four teams win their games. And we have a playoff where only Georgia has made it before. So as much as we know about Michigan and the brand, you're going to have two newbies, or three newbies, but two, like, kind of where do they come from types in Oklahoma State and Cincinnati, which that'll be good for the sport. It kind of broadens the sport. The sport is pretty much nothing west of Texas. And really, it's been Oklahoma and then the SEC and Ohio State and Clemson. So I think if things go the way they should, it'll be healthy for the sport.
I think it's going to be Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma State, and Cincinnati. I think Oklahoma State will jump them when they beat Baylor. And I don't think Cincinnati is going to get any style points, even if they win. I don't think they're going to win, but if they do, I don't think they're going to get any style points against Houston. So,
you think they'll put the two, you think they want Cincinnati to get beat?
They want Cincinnati to get beat right away in the first round. They'll put them against Georgia.
Yeah, I wonder if that's a close game between Oklahoma State and Baylor, if they'll do it. Yeah, you're probably right, because it is the more impressive win. Despite what we think of the Cougs, have had a really good year. And if they win, then it certainly changes everything. But, yeah, it's a Power 5 win. You win the Big 12. Yeah,
it's a top 10.
You'll probably get elevated.
Top 10 win, and they've kept Houston down so they don't have to bolster a Cincinnati win. So, yeah. I think Oklahoma State moves into 3, and we'll see. Maybe now, if Cincinnati loses, Alabama loses and Cincinnati loses, now Notre Dame has to go in there without a coach.
I wonder how they'll treat them if they don't have a coach. I don't think it should matter because the coach is – well, they just named Marcus Freeman the head coach officially today. So they have their coach, and it's a guy who's been there. So I think Notre Dame will be fine in that regard.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They're looking for – that's stupid anyway. They should not go because Brian Kelly took the LSU job. That's stupid. 945 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That is Dell right here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Respect My Decision is the podcast, and you can find it on Apple and Spotify and everywhere else where you have those things. Dell, as always, we appreciate it, and we will have fun with your Three Fred show.
Hey, where's Lance?
It's the winter of Lance, okay, as opposed to the summer of Charlie. It's the winter of Lance. He just takes days off all the time now.
Is he in the building working on Wyoming's left guard? Is that what he's
doing? Yes, yes. He's working on his hips.
Well, I think you're better off with Roosh anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate that. Always good to talk to you.
No problem. Bye.
All right. Have fun with the Three Fred Show. It's at 946 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for Mark Klein to join us here to talk about what Christmas Eve we're going to be at Klein's for the Christmas party. And you don't have to wait till then, Mark. How about give you a call now and let's go. Let's get that diamond. Let's get these diamonds. Let's get these earrings. Let's get these pendants. Let's get it for
her. Yeah, for sure. We have 3 weekends left until Christmas, guys. So if you're sitting out there driving in the car, you're like, what do I get? What do I get her? You don't have to spend a lot of money. I mean, you just don't go to the mall. Don't go to some half-price sale. Call me. Call Klein's Jewelry. And we're going to have the best deals in the city of Houston on loose diamonds, diamond pendants, diamond bracelets. If you still want something made, you can bring me a picture. I can make it. We make everything right there in the store. So it's done by computer CAD design. I used to do it, you know, John, you remember in the day, we used to do it all by hand. Now it's done by computer. The computer cuts it out. It's exactly like the picture. It's beautiful. Our work is incredible. Whether you want diamond pendants, whether you want just gold pendants, whether you can take your old jewelry that's in her box at home that she's not using and bring it in and trade it in and get something that she can wear. So anything in jewelry, give us a call anytime, 832-316-1388, 832-316-1388. We'll quote you the price over the phone. If it's not the best deal in the city, don't come and get it. But you will come. You will buy from Klein's because we do a great job of what we do.
Every time. I did it this year. I'm picking Wendy's up on Christmas Eve. But you got to get there beforehand. Let's go. 5868 West Hummer, KleinsJewelry.com.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we don't have much time here. We usually have a little bit more time. It is Friday, and we got a big weekend of football. Well, this is a great, great weekend with all the championship games and all the implications on the line. Thanks for joining us today, Roosh.
Thank you for having me. I've had a blast.
Yeah, it was great. You did a great job, so we appreciate it. It's good stuff. Great to have you, and we'll have you back again. Did great. We usually end with news of the weird. So there's weird stuff going on out there, Roosh. I don't know if you know that.
Okay.
One of the weird things is, I don't know if you, have you heard, I don't remember this, the Lakewood Church. Did you see back in 2014 they had like $600,000 stolen?
Yep.
$600,000 was stolen back in 2014. Well, they found it.
In the walls.
They found it in the wall. There was a loose toilet in the wall. We removed the tile. We went to go to remove the toilet, and I moved some insulation away, and about 500 envelopes fell out of the wall. I was like, oh, wow. And I don't know if it's all the money, but the question is, who put it there, and why didn't they never go back and get it?
That's a great question. We might need answers from from one Joel, Mr. Joel Osteen. Joel, I don't know. You tell us, brother.
He when he locked the doors of he might everybody have, during the hurricane, thinking.
He might have been
putting the money. I don't know. I'm not just listen. I don't know, but all I know is that there's about $600,000 in the walls right there. And nobody claimed it until the plumber opened up the wall.
Think about how many people crapped in that bathroom that are thinking, damn, if only.
Finally, I knew. If only. If I had just hit my elbow. How about this? There were snakes in a Maryland home. The snakes were so bad. How do you think they got rid of them?
Gas? I don't know.
They burned the house down.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you think that's how you should get rid of snakes, is to burn your house down? So that's like the guy who promised if he couldn't find a job, so he promised if he found a job that he would have a sacrifice. He killed himself.
Oh my God!
He found a job, so he sacrificed himself to God.
Well, it's efficient to say the least.
But it kind of destroyed
the purpose.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this: Did they notice these snakes survey their options and then make a calculated decision that burning the house down was the best thing to do, or was it impromptu?
It was actually, I think, an accident. It was an accident. The homeowner using smoke to manage snake infestation. He believes the heat source, the coals, were too close to combustibles. Wow. And it blew up the house.
Wow. Wonder what kind of snakes they were.
Yeah, I don't know. Bad kind. I don't care what kind of snakes they are. If they're in my house, I'm burning my house down too. All right, I'm with this guy. I'm burning the house down if I've got snakes in my house. Do you ever worry about when you sit on the toilet?
You know what I do worry about? Yes. But what I do worry about is freaking roaches. And last night I was about to go to sleep. I grabbed my glasses from the bathroom counter. I have a door that goes into the bathroom. I was about to turn the lights off, and there was a huge roach right under the light fixture, and I almost had a heart attack. And then I murdered the roach, of course. But no, snakes coming out of there.
Where is this?
This was at my house.
At your house?
Yeah.
Yeah, call McGrath Pest Control.
Okay.
All right, 281-469-8240. 281-469-8240. Give them a call. Apparently, white actors, this is wrong. Do you get upset white actors playing black characters in virtual reality diversity training?
That's a lot. That's a big sentence there.
Yes, it is. isn't it just wrong if it's a virtual reality diversity training that white people should not have blackface on? Isn't that just a rule?
I don't even know why you'd make that decision. That's one of those things where when it's happening, you should just look at it and say, you know what? Let's not even risk this.
I don't think this is right.
Yeah, let's just not even roll the dice. Just get me someone that fits the part.
The 60s called. They want their blackface back. Okay, we're not doing that anymore. We're just not going to do that anymore. What we are going to do is we're going to watch football this weekend and probably drink a bunch of Coors Lights. We really appreciate you being here, Roosh. Thanks for hanging with us. Monday, Lance will be gone again. We'll figure out what we're going to do there. But we are going to have a big weekend, and we got a lot to talk about on Monday. What we also have to talk about – oh, wait a minute. Well, you know what else we're going to have to talk about is the fight. The fight is coming up. Gervonta Tank Davis, 25-0 with 24 knockouts. This dude will knock you out. Gervonta Tank Davis, five-time three-division world champion. He's fighting for the lightweight title against Isaac Pitbull Cruz, 21-1-1, 15 knockouts, 23-year-old from Mexico City, Mexico. Vámonos, pues. We got to watch this fight. It's Sunday, 7 o'clock. The unbeaten five-time world champion, boxing's hottest attraction, Gervonta Tank Davis, defends his title, his lightweight championship, against hard-hitting Isaac Pitbull Cruz. Can't miss pay-per-view event. Davis, a generational talent who's only getting better, squares off against the hard-hitting, hard-nosed Cruz. Two high-octane fighters, one explosive showdown, Sunday, December 5th at 7 o'clock, right here, live on pay-per-view. You want a big night? Okay, we got all the football. Now you got the boxing as well, live on pay-per-view. It's Davis versus Cruz.
Bye, bitch.
ESPN 97.5.